How about we pray and then we'll have a look at God's word. Dear Lord, we want to thank you for the day. And Lord, we acknowledge that it can be hard to come out on a Sunday night. And Lord, but we understand that this is more than just flesh and blood, but Lord, it is a spiritual thing. And Lord, we are spiritual beings that need to hear from you, to worship you. And Lord, we pray that for those that have been willing and able to come out tonight, that you would bless them accordingly for that. And Lord, we do pray that your word will speak to our very souls this night in any way that you see fit. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Something that I haven't heard mentioned very often these days, but it seemed to be mentioned a lot more when I was younger, is the little phrase, second generation syndrome. And if you haven't heard of that, well, that's because it probably hasn't been mentioned very often, but that's basically meaning that where you have one generation of people who love the Lord, serve the Lord with all their heart and their soul, and then the next generation comes along and they are very different. They have no desire to serve the Lord, no desire to follow Him. In fact, they reject the Lord and go their own way. That second generation syndrome where this seems to happen. This syndrome's been happening from the year dot. You know, when you have a look at Adam and Eve, yet we know that Cain didn't follow in their ways. Think of Moses, that mighty, wonderful leader. And we know that he had sons, but we don't hear much of them or if they followed in his ways. They certainly weren't used to continue to be the leaders of Israel. Then there's Eli, the prophet, the priest. And we know that his sons followed in his ways, but they were an abomination in the sight of God and they certainly weren't godly people. That wonderful prophet Samuel. Yet when it came to his children, the people didn't want his children to reign over them and they certainly didn't trust his children. We have Hezekiah, one of the greatest kings of Judah. Yet his son Manasseh was the most evil king of Judah. And so you get this tendency of that syndrome. Someone loves the Lord, but the next generation doesn't seem to. Even today we know there are countless godly men and women, yet their children have not followed in their way. And so the second generation syndrome's been around for a very long time and it's still alive and kicking. It can happen in regards to generation, like a whole generation of people, or it can happen in regards to just individuals. And tonight, we're looking at our last message from Joshua and those that followed him into the promised land. And I think it's fitting to consider that next generation that came along after the ones that went in. Last time, I think it was about 2 weeks ago, we looked at that generation that went in with Joshua and we saw how they were conquerors. They saw and knew what it was like to see God work miracles through them. They had convictions to do what God would have them to do. They continued the work even after Joshua had passed away. Yet we saw that they did make mistakes. And the biggest mistake was allowing those within the land that God said to remove, they allowed them to live in various ways. They made allegiance with some, and also they got tired of the work and they didn't continue to fight the battles as they should. But there came a time when all of these have passed away, Joshua, the elders, and those that followed Joshua in, and another generation came up and they were the adults there in the land of promise. And what took place from here on is something that sadly happens too often when it comes to the next generation after a godly generation. And sadly, for this generation that followed these ones, they rejected the Lord, or they eventually rejected the Lord altogether, and they gave themselves over to the sins of the depraved people who God said He wanted them removed. And the statistics suggest that that will be very similar to for many of the children that come along here in this church, sadly. You know, we have a lot of children. I think last time I counted, I think we had, if you count under the age of 15 or something, there's like 60 children or something in our church. This is wonderful. But the statistics say that there's a lot who won't continue to follow the Lord when they're adults. I've had the blessing of being involved in a number of youth groups over the past 30 years. I started being a youth leader when I was about 19, so you know, I started young. But over the past 30 years, if I did a little bit of a count of, from memory of those who had Christian parents, and now are they still following the Lord as adults, I would say it's about a 50% ratio of the ones that I've ministered to. 50% still love the Lord, yet 50% don't. And I certainly pray that we have a far better percentage than that when it comes to this church. Imagine if we have 60 under the age of 15 and only 30 are adults who love the Lord and the other 30 have forsaken the ways of God. That would be a sad thing. Yet in 10, 15 years' time, we'll know if that is a reality or not. And sadly, this is a reality that has been happening from generation to generation with every church. The children of Christians grow up and they rebel against the Lord. And in this passage, we see that this took place with the generation that followed after the ones that went into the promised land. And tonight, what I would like to do is look at the spiral, the way that it seemed to unfold. And I think it's good to also make mention that it doesn't have to be children where this happens. It can even be adults. Sadly, people can reach their 30s, 40s, and then they still, these things take place. But we see here a slide, and things happen one after the other. Because one thing I have noticed over the years is that it doesn't happen straight away. You don't have a young person or a Christian in general who loves the Lord, is serving the Lord, seeking to do what's right, and then the next day they just give up altogether. No, there's a sequence of events that take place. And we see this in some form with this generation. And I think it would be good to have a look at that. I'd encourage you to ask yourself, am I at any of these points? And if so, I make the corrections that need to happen. Or at least be aware of it. If you're a bit younger, you don't have liberty yet. And make sure that as you grow up, these things don't come to pass. Now, the first thing we see here in Judges, if you turn over to Judges chapter 2. In Judges chapter 2, verse 10, we see that the following generation forgot what they were taught. They forgot what they were taught. Let me read verse 10 to you. It says in Judges chapter 2, and also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers. Right, so all the adults that went into the promised land are gone. And there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. Do you get that last bit? Which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. Now, there has to be a bit of a question mark with the parents. What happened there? How did they not know the Lord or the works of the Lord? Did the parents just get slack and not do it? Or did they teach, but the children weren't listening? Or did they choose to forget? I suspect there's lots of families, or there were lots of families in a nation. And so I don't think they all acted the exact same way. I'm sure there was a mixture of reasons why the next generation got to this. There would have been parents who taught their children the things of God and the works and the ways of God, yet they seemed to fall away as well. You know, we know in that wonderful speech that Joshua made near the end of his life, he told and encouraged the people to choose you this day who you will serve. And then it says, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's what Joshua was saying. And I know that lots of parents love to have that as a little plaque, and they have that as something that, as for me and my family, we're going to serve the Lord and so on. And this was Joshua's desire as well. He was going to teach his children. And I'm sure he did teach his children. And many others that were listening to him at that time did the very same thing. But what on earth happened to Joshua's sons and daughters? There's no mention of them. They certainly didn't take over the leadership. We don't know if they stayed faithful or not, since it says that all Israel forsook the Lord. It's more than possible that they didn't continue to follow the Lord. And so, obviously, there were some in that generation, such as Joshua and those who wanted to follow his ways, who taught the commandments of God to their children. And so, why didn't they know the ways of God? Could it be that they knew, they just didn't accept it? They just didn't accept it. They didn't agree with what they were taught and thought they knew better. See, this is the way that I've seen it unfold, that children who have Christian parents, they hear and they know the truth. But it comes a point where they have to choose if they're going to accept what they have been taught. And sadly, this is where it usually starts when it comes to a slide going the wrong direction. And that is, you won't listen to the advice of the generation that has gone before you, and you think that you know better. Now, true, if someone from a generation before you is telling you something that is not found in God's Word or it's against God's Word, yeah, don't listen to it. And admittedly, there are some people that can find a devil under every little rock, and they can go overboard too. But on the whole, parents know what they're talking about, generally, all right? And they get better at knowing what they're talking about the older they get, all right? And as you get older, in those older years, you do know what you're talking about, usually. But yet it's surprising how the next generation wants to pick and choose what they listen to from the previous generation. If it fits in with their lifestyle, they'll listen. But if it goes against the lifestyle that they want to live, they don't listen. They don't think it's good advice. And I know that the best place to go for your teaching is God's Word. But you don't have to be alive too long to discover that there are plenty of things that you have to make decisions on, and it's not mentioned in God's Word. And the only way you can know if it is a wise thing to know is time. Time tells you if something or a direction is wise or not. Where you see, or you're able to see the end result of decisions that are made that way, where you're able to see the usual outcomes. And that's what Proverbs talks about. The usual outcome is, if you do this, this is going to happen. And you get to see that the older you live. And that's where wisdom can be found. Can I encourage you, if you're a young person, a child, one way, youth group, even young adults, as intelligent and wise as you may be, young adults, can I encourage you to listen to the older generation? Because they've had the time to see where these decisions go. And there's another little bit about that that I have discovered over the years is, most times, can you pick and choose the advice you want to listen to? Where the generation before might say, this is what you need, and they've proved it to be so, yet you pick and choose the bits you like and you don't like out of it. It rarely works like that. It's a little bit like, you know, I love Linda's chocolate mud cake. Now, if she went away and I thought, I want to enjoy one of those mud cakes, and she's not here to make it, and I ring her up and say, what's the ingredients for the cake? And she tells me. No point me saying, well, I don't really want to mix it. That seems like too much work, and I don't really like eggs, and I don't want to really do that. I don't want to drive down to Woolworths and buy that cake mix. Sorry. But if there are things that seem a little bit too hard, and I go, I'll just leave out those bits. Well, I'm not going to get the end result, am I? You've got to stick to the recipe for it to work. And more times than not, if you pick and choose the doctrines and the standards of someone who's trying to tell you the right way to go, you're not going to get the end result unless you take the whole package. You know, when I was growing up, I watched my parents and I saw how they lived, and I never really told them, but I loved the outcome of living for the Lord that my parents enjoyed. I had the privilege of being in a real Christian home and a good Christian home. I observed their marriage, and that was the type of marriage I wanted. I observed the home life, and that was the sort of home life I wanted. I saw how they served the Lord, and I wanted to serve the Lord like that. I saw how they loved the Lord, and I wanted to love the Lord the way that they did. And so from a perspective of being a child, I knew that my parents, what they had was real. This was real Christian living, and I wanted what they had. Now, that's a good thing. Problem was, they were conservative Christians. Now, they weren't conservative Christians because they were just old, all right? They actually made that choice from the generation that went before them. They learnt from them. And they saw others who chose to go another direction and they didn't like it. So they chose to be a conservative Christian family. And so me and my wisdom as a young teenager and then getting on to the older, I thought I'd just pick and choose from the recipe. I wanted what they had, but I thought I can leave out the hard bits, that you know, the putting yourself out and forgoing certain things. And really it was my flesh saying, well, we want to keep that and we can let that one go. And no, we definitely need that one still. And I tried to pick and choose. But it became very obvious to me very quickly that it was setting me on a very different path. And it was very slowly but gradually taking me away from the Lord and away from what they had. And so I had to come to a reality, or I had to wonder, do I take the whole package or do I think I know better than them? And I praise God that I came to a point in my heart where I thought, no, I'm going to trust what I have seen works. I'm going to take the whole package. And so I chose to live how I saw them live. And you know, I can praise God that the recipe works. And I've seen it work in my family as well. And I've seen how it does work. And I am so thankful I chose that and not thought I knew better than what they did. But sadly, that's what the next generation often doesn't do. They think they know better than the generation that's gone before them who have shown the right way, and they think they can pick and choose or they have another better way, and so they go a different direction, not knowing where it's going to end up until it's too late. And this generation who followed after those who Joshua led into the promised land, I'm sure they had been taught the things of God, most of them. They had seen what God can do in and through someone. They just didn't forget in that sense. They chose to forget. Like what I chose to do for a little while. And when a person begins to forget or reject the teaching of the previous generation, the next thing that will inevitably happen is they begin to sin. Have a look there in verse 11. In chapter 2, And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam. Wow. One generation in and they're serving Balaam. This generation, the next one, the second one, started to do the very thing God said not to do. God said they weren't to serve anyone but Him. Yet we find very soon after their parents have died, they're serving other gods. Now, I don't know if it's because they had grown up with Baal worshippers beside them because their parents didn't finish the job and so it didn't seem that scary, or if they wanted to try and do things the way that I wanted to when I was young and foolish, thinking that they can serve Jehovah and Baal and it won't hurt them. I'm not sure if that's what their mentality is, but whatever the reason is, they didn't accept what they were taught. Every parent, every good parent in Israel who did the right thing by their children would have taught them that the gods of the nations around them are an abomination in the sight of the God, and they were to stay right away from them. We can be sure of that. That God wanted them to stay clear, and God would judge them if they rejected. And they should have, and I'm sure they did have that teaching ringing in their ears, and they would have had no doubt what was right and what was wrong. Yet for the children who were taught these things by their parents, they still chose to get involved with the worship of these false gods. As we looked at last Sunday, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. I suspect they saw the other gods and thought, you know, even though Mum, Dad said, don't go and watch these practices, because you'll get tempted, we can go and watch and it won't hurt. Even though Mum, Dad said, don't hang around these because you will be affected by it, you'll end up seeking their gods, it won't hurt us, we can do that. The heart has been deceitful from the very beginning and desperately wicked, and I'm sure they did this. And they got to the point where they did the very thing that their parents hated. Their parents fought against these who worshipped idols. They earnestly contended for what God wanted. And it almost seems as though it was a complete waste of time and it was all in vain, because their very children worshipped those very false gods and practiced those evil deeds, and they were sinners in the sight of God. It would have really broken their heart. And this is where those who forget what they've been taught usually end up. Those who think they know best and can do things better or do things easier, they usually end up sinning. And sadly, I've seen too many think that they know better than their parents, know better than the pastor, know better than that generation that has proved a way that is godly and right. And they think we can just take and pick and choose and make up our own little ingredients and it should be fine. And it's not until they've gone too far down the track that they discover it's a big mistake. And that's what this generation did. They sinned in the sight of God. Now, I might add, though, every generation there are those who sin. We all sin, for each one of us. I think there's always a time in our life when we think that we know better than the generation that's gone before us. And we do make mistakes and we sin. The good news is, if we repent of our sin, realize what we've done, and get right with God, He is merciful and forgiving and able to help us get things right. But if we choose to remain in that state and stubbornly refuse to repent, that's when we get to the point where we actually forsake God. Verse 12, and they forsook the Lord God of their fathers. This is just one generation which brought them out of the land of Egypt and followed other gods, of the gods of the people that were round about them, and bowed themselves unto them and provoked the Lord to anger. You know, it's one thing to commit a sin. Happens to all of us. Some of us stay longer in that sin than others. But the next step after that is being too stubborn to repent and choosing to remain there. And that's when your heart gets really hard and it's very hard to come back. You know, and I think that must be the thing that breaks the Lord's heart more than anything. He doesn't like to see us sin, but I think he understands we're going to, but it's when we refuse to repent. It's like when it comes to a married couple, you always end up hurting each other. But I tell you what, that's a very different thing to when one says, I no longer want to be married. And that's what it came to with this generation. They no longer wanted Jehovah to be their God. We want Baal. We want Ashtaroth. We want others instead. Can you understand why it says, and they provoked the Lord to anger? After all he had done, he continued to do, and how much he graciously supplied, they ignored all that, and they chose to worship devils. And brethren, this is the syndrome that we see far too often. There is a warning in the New Testament from this generation. It's in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12. I'll read it. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. You know, the same problem can happen to any of us. Doesn't matter what age, but what I can tell you is it's more likely to happen when you're a teenager or a young adult. Whereas that evil heart of unbelief. I wonder if you find yourself in one of those little categories. You get wisdom taught, you get advice given, but no thank you, I know better. And so you reject. Or you find the next step, you're sinning, but your heart said it's okay because it's not going to really hurt. Or then your heart goes, no, it's not actually bad. You can stay like this. Until you get to the point where you know it's wrong, but you don't care anymore and you're just hard and stubborn. To the point where you forsake God. If you've forsaken him, I suspect you aren't here tonight. But it gets like that. You know, that second generation syndrome. You know, this generation, they could have enjoyed so many blessings. Their parents had gone and done all the hard work, most of the fighting. They could have enjoyed all the blessings. Yet they had to suffer the chastening hand of God because they chose to know better. And they rejected him and served other gods. You know, this is a scary thing. And one generation and it all falls apart. I was thinking this afternoon, I don't know my family tree that well, but I do know that my grandfather and grandmother loved the Lord, Christians. My grandfather preached. He wasn't a pastor, but he took opportunities to preach when he could. And so, Nenapa, never knew him. He passed away before I was born. But they had two boys. One boy rejected their ways completely. He went off and just lived just like this generation. He had children who are godless. They don't care about the things of God. They've had children. And you wouldn't even know there was a speck of Christianity in that tree line. They had another son they called him Spencer, but somehow they ended up calling him Graham, my father. He chose to serve God. And then he had four children, and praise God, each one of us have chosen to serve the Lord and follow their ways as well. And I'm very thankful that I've had three children and they've done the same. But isn't it sad if there's one that stops and then you look, see a whole tree of generations after that and they don't even know the things of God? Children, young adults, teenagers, you need to make sure that you listen to the generation that's gone before. Because there are some things you're not going to find in the Bible. They're just things that are just for our days. There are principles, but you need to listen to the wisdom of those who have seen the path that are trod and where they end up. You reject that, and there is going to be, usually, sad consequences. As I said, I think maybe 9 out of 10 times when I see someone stubbornly do that, it usually may not be them, but it'll be their children who suffer. And so can I encourage you, don't be one of those second generation syndrome people. Yet if you are a parent, can I challenge you with this? Make sure that your marriage is something your children want. Make sure your family life is something that they want. Make sure the way you love the Lord and serve the Lord is something they want. And so they will say, I will take the whole recipe and apply it to my life. Don't give them a reason to want to rebel and choose something different. I'm blessed. I had a good recipe to follow. I trust if you are a parent, you're doing the same. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you that, Lord, despite our upbringings, despite our siblings, fathers, mothers, even our church, Lord, if we have a soft heart who seeks your way, you will guide and lead. And I pray that each one here, despite their, regardless of their age, will have a burden to seek your path, a path that is holy and right and pleasing in your sight. Pray that the younger ones will be humble enough to listen to those who have gone before them and seek advice when they're not sure. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.